Now, emergency crews have temporarily halted the search for survivors in the rubble of a condominium near Miami Beach, Florida, that collapsed last week. At least 18 people have died and more than 140 people are still missing.
A 2018 inspection of that building called for repairs to damaged concrete in beams and walls. But it'll still take time before investigators are able to pin down a specific cause for the disaster.
Our next guest has studied building failures and how they can change the way we construct and regulate buildings. He says with careful inspection, the tragedy in Miami could make other structures safer in the future.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the building collapse in Florida? About what causes buildings to collapse in general? Have you lived in a building that had serious structural damage? Do you think we need more inspections and or enforcement of building safety codes? If you work in construction yourself, what do you think about, what are you wondering about when it comes to this collapse in Miami? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could email ideas@WPR.org.
Norbert Delott is a professor of engineering and head of the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Oklahoma State University. He's the author of the book Beyond Failure, Forensic Case Studies for Civil Engineers. Norb, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So the question right now that's on a lot of people's minds is, how could such a sudden and drastic collapse like this happen, especially without any warning? Obviously, we don't know the answer to that yet, but what are some possible explanations that come to your mind with a building like this?
Well, there could be a lot of factors, and a lot of factors have been suggested. One that was pretty well documented in the 2018 report was the corrosion and deterioration of a building being for nearly 40 years next to the ocean. The salt air is in any infiltration of salt water, those are very damaging on building materials. So I think on the one hand, we know that we had a weakened building, but what we still don't know is what may have triggered the collapse, what may have led to that particular collapse on that particular day.
And you've written that there have to be, how does a building collapse? It really comes down to the right conditions, which you've kind of talked about, and the trigger. Do we have any sense right now of what the possible trigger could have been? We know, what the conditions might be playing a role, but what about the trigger?
Well, yeah, and that we don't know, and the evidence for that may be still buried under many feet of rubble, particularly if, as some have suggested, it initiated down in the parking area, down towards the foundation. But normally a trigger is something, some kind of event or overload, perhaps an impact. Again, there's no evidence of that. But it also could be some critical element of the building that weakened, corroded reinforcing bars that snapped, or a large chunk of concrete that fell off, or a column under a very heavy compression load where enough of the concrete fell off to cause a single column to crush. But that's going to be the hard thing to get to, because currently the clues are most likely down in the bottom of that pile.
And speaking of that pile right now, the rescue operations have had to be put on hold in part. We've heard some reporting that structurally it may not be very sound. It might not be safe for people. How is this going to impact, the investigation moving forward?
So, yeah, that's always an issue. I mean, in one respect, the good news is that part of the building stayed up and that saved many lives. But unfortunately, that part is now unstable and kind of overhanging the site. That, in fact, was almost exactly the condition after the Oklahoma City bombing, where half of the building was still up and some parts of that were very unstable. That delays the rescue of any potential survivors. That delays recovery of victims, and the investigation really can't start until those operations are completed, because those are a higher priority. And so it's going to be a while.
And once those rescue operations come to a conclusion, what kind of things will investigators be looking at, you know, as they're trying to basically piece together what happened?
So you're looking at how the essentially how the rubble landed when it collapsed. And fortunately, I think even with drone footage, you can get that as you're digging down. Some points you want material samples. We want to pull out samples of the reinforcing steel to see how much of it was corroded, any fractures, how much of the section might have been lost. Also samples of the concrete. Was it quality concrete in the first place, but also have 40 years of salt, because the corrosion process is essentially salt and getting permeating the concrete and then eventually reaching the steel and weakening the reinforced concrete together. So material samples, positions of materials, how they landed, those are all going to be critical clues. The videotape, even though the quality is poor, showing the sequence can be extremely useful, essentially by being able to identify what seems to have come down first.
We are talking to Norbert Delott right now. He's a professor of engineering and the head of the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Oklahoma State University. And he's with us to talk about that condominium collapse in Miami. We have a caller on the line. We have Jeff in West Salem. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, I've heard in a couple of previous reports that the building had been sinking for years because of, whether it be sinkholes or, the unstable ground because of the ocean level rising. And I was wondering if that had any bearing as to the investigation going on as to why it happened.
Thanks for that call, Jeff. And yeah, the condo is on the beach. It is close to the Atlantic Ocean. How much could that have been a factor in this?
Well, it's clearly a factor that's going to have to be looked at. But those tend to be gradual processes, which makes it less likely that it would lead to a sudden collapse. The other thing with subsidence is whether or not it's in one location or uniform. I mean, if the building sank even a couple of inches, but it all sank together, that doesn't put any stress on the structure. But if one part subsided. I mean, there are sinkholes in Florida. I just don't know that in this particular location, because you typically have very specific geology that goes with sinkholes. So while it's possible it needs to be examined, it can't be ruled out. The evidence leans much more to the actual deterioration of the structure itself. But since some of it seems to appear that it might have started from the bottom, I'm having to be careful because sure, we have not confirmed that yet. I think a foundation problem is potentially plausible.
We continue our talk with Norb Delott, professor of engineering at Oklahoma State University, looking at last week's building collapse in Florida and what we can do to prevent future disasters. And in that vein of preventing future disasters, obviously, we still have a lot to learn about what's happening in Florida. But this is not the first building collapse to have happened, unfortunately. And you've actually written a book about all sorts of structural failures and the lessons we can take with them. What are some of the things that you think we might ultimately take away from what happened in Miami?
Well, I mean, because we'll be looking at it was a 40-year-old building. We'll look at whether the codes in effect at the time were sufficient, but maybe weren't followed. We'll look at if we need to make updates to our codes. In many cases, the building codes have been updated based on what we find out from regulations like this. If the durability of the concrete in the structure were an issue, there have been a lot of advances over the last 40 years in those. But we may find that that we may need to make some further changes in particularly harsh environments where you've got that exposure of seawater and salt air. There have been some reports that indicate that there may have been water that intruded down in the into the parking area in the basement. And it's also possible that maybe some of the chemicals used, for example, in treating the pool, if those leaked out, that those. So we're going to try. Those are the aspects we'll look at in terms of updating codes, but also maybe updating how we make concrete to make it last longer.
So, you know, as we have talked about, this is not the first time we've seen structural damage. And, you know, we're talking about what we might learn from this disaster. But of course, there have been other issues in the past. You know, what have we learned from those issues? Have there been any like big building collapses that we've seen in the past that have made our buildings safer today?
Well, for example, I think the Oklahoma City bombing made some major changes in how we design government buildings, where we have concerns that there might be some action against them. So for those types of buildings, you actually have to demonstrate that you could take away a column and the building would still stand up. I think the investigations of the World Trade Center improved maybe fireproofing, fire safety, improved maybe how we might do egress to get people out of tall buildings. So in many cases, there are things we learn. And usually, you know, the one thing that is useful is that I think we're going to have an investigating team from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I think they already have people on the ground, and those people actually work on building codes, so they'll be able to take the lessons and put them in place directly.
So we've been focusing on what's happened in Florida. We've looked at some of the conditions that might have played a role, you know, the corrosive nature of salt water, sand, all of that. There, of course, are buildings that could be vulnerable in other parts of the country. In Oklahoma, Wisconsin, they might be more susceptible to various heat discrepancies. How are engineers like yourself looking at other buildings and their safety in other parts of the country?
Well, of course, we do look at structural safety around the country and around the world. A lot does depend on local conditions. And fortunately, the collapses of buildings in service continue to be very rare. Where there have been similar collapses of buildings like this, that has tended to happen during construction, because until a building is completed, it's not quite as stable. But you know, it's puzzling to have a building stand for 40 years and then something changed and it collapsed. And trying to figure out if that goes back to design or construction defects from the 40 years ago. And ironically, that area is one of the few in the country that have these types of required inspections, like in the 2018 report. Oklahoma, Wisconsin, I don't believe you have those kind of requirements. So maybe more periodic inspections. I think something to learn might be what some of the warnings of a building in danger might be and how we would go about identifying that and stabilizing it.
Not to make you speculate too much, but what might that look like? What might some of those danger signs look like in places that aren't Florida?
Yeah, well, so typical danger signs that you have, and for example, we talked about soil conditions and differential settlement, where part of the building is settled. You're going to see cracks. You might have doors sticking, things of that nature. And if that appears suddenly and seems to get worse, that might be a reason to consider taking some action or even evacuating the building. And I think going forward, we might look at how, if you have a building that is at risk, we're now getting to the point where sensors and monitoring systems are getting cheap enough that you would be able to put some kind of sensors in a building to monitor the behavior. So you could look at, for example, when a crack appears, does it get bigger, which indicates that the problem is probably getting worse. Another key indicator would be if a floor is at a level.
So that would be kind of just slightly off, maybe a little bit lower than a little higher at one point and a little bit lower the rest of the way. Is that correct? At that level?
Right. And in particular, if you're seeing changes, you know, if it was level and now it's not anymore.
Yeah,
the type of thing.
Yeah, that seems like that would be something you'd want to keep on your radar and keep your eye out. So we have about a minute left. What will you be watching for in regards to what we see coming out of Florida and potential next steps that people can keep their eyes on?
Well, the investigations take time, and typically in a case like this, it'll take about a year to actually get a thorough investigation report. That's, for example, what the National Transportation Safety Board, how long it takes them to complete an investigation in something like the I-35W Minneapolis bridge collapse or other things like that. And so if with NIST investigating this, I expect we're probably in about the range of a, but if something comes out that's obvious, we may learn a lot sooner.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Norb, for joining us today.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Norb Delott is a professor of engineering and the head of the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Oklahoma State University. He is the author of the book Beyond Failure, Forensic Case Studies for Civil Engineers. And he joined us today to talk about the deadly building collapse in Miami, Florida this week, where investigations are still ongoing.